Good morning, Grace Christian Fellowship Church. Wow, that's great. I want to say I really appreciate you inviting me back for a second week. Usually that doesn't happen. So I thought, today we're starting a series which is near to dear my heart, and that is being what He made us to be as a church and a people of God. I think I talked to Mike Gillis the other day, and he said he had a message saying that if we are Christians, why do we wear two hats? Why during the week we one way and Sunday we seem to be another way? Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, Timothy, I'm here to try to stir up what is inside you. I'm hoping this series is here to stir up what is inside all of you as people of God. Some of you that I've talked to said, I want a church in which I can't wait to come to. So I can get excited about that. When Sunday comes, I'm saying, yes, I'm going to come to Grace Christian Fellowship. And you know, as a pastor, I want a church that I can't wait to preach in. I want a church that I can say, I just can't wait to talk to the people of God. So get ready, fasten your seat belts, because here we go. How many went to the parade at the Strawberry Festival in Chasel? All right. How many people love parades? Oh, come on. We all love parades. We all love parades. I remember as a little kid, maybe you do too, watching my first parades. You're sitting either on the curb or on your dad's shoulders, and you're waiting for the procession to begin. And you know the procession's going to have the heroes of the city. It's going to have the firefighters. It's going to have the veterans of war, the heroes, the mighty men of valor. It's going to have policemen. It's going to have politicians. There's excitement in all of that. All of men and the community honoring something. Especially on Memorial Day, honoring the fallen. July 4th, honoring the celebration of the birth of this nation. Thanksgiving, honoring thanks unto our Lord. It's a great time. I was so excited just sitting there. And you know what the most excitement is? Is the wait. Sometimes there's the excitement in the wait. As you're sitting there in a curb, you're looking, and the first band is just prepared to go. And I remember that as sure as anything. Here you go. You have the drum major. Get ready. You're ready for this. What's it saying? You all ready for this? You have the drum major. Getting ready, okay? And there's quiet. The drum major is just standing there. You know, they usually use a 6'10" guy that's standing there with the baton ready to go. And as soon as there's the nod from the band leader, you hear this. And off he goes! And as a kid, I loved it. I just absolutely loved it. Off we go! Here comes the excitement. And off they do go. There's floats. You know, there's floats and there's balloons and there's just everything that's out there. Just to see the whole community. The little ballet dancers. You know, those. The churches that are represented there. The whole community came out. But as a little kid, what do you think I liked the most? What? Oh, man. You saw the bag. And what you love the most is that you would run around, follow the floats, and the candy would come. And it would go everywhere. And just such excitement. And this is chocolate, guys. Don't let it hit the floor. There you go. As I bounce it off heads. Did you get your candy? Here. But isn't that exciting? Don't those things just go through your mind? The community was there for celebration. I'm going to talk to you about a similar parade. It's a parade that David started when he was made king in Jerusalem. It's a parade in which the excitement was strong and all community leaders were out because David was going to bring the Ark of the Covenant into the house of the Lord. So with that, I think it's time to read the scripture. So I want you to nudge the person next to you, wake them up, and say, it's time for God's life-changing word. You got that? Talk to your person. Come on, person. It's time for God's life-changing word. Okay, let's get in the scripture. Scripture reading today is in 2 Samuel, verse 12 through 23. You can look at that in your Bible, or I've given everybody a cheat sheet. I mean, you can turn your outline around, and there you'll have the verses. So let's read from 2 Samuel chapter 6, starting with verse 12. Now it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him on account of the Ark of God. And David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And so it was that when the bearers of the Ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. And David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel were bringing up the Ark of the Lord with shouting and the sound of the trumpet. Then it happened as the Ark of the Lord came into the city of David that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. So they brought in the Ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent which David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offering and peace offering before the Lord. And when David had finished offering the burnt offering and the peace offering, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Further, he distributed to all the people, to all the multitude of Israel, both to man and women, a cake of bread and one of dates and one of raisins to each one. Then all the people departed to his house. But when David returned to bless his household, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how the king of Israel distinguished himself today. He uncovered himself today in the eyes of his servants' maids as one of the foolish ones shamelessly uncovers himself. So David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me above your father and above his household to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will celebrate before the Lord. And I will be more lightly esteemed than this and will be humbled in my own eyes. But with the maids of whom you have spoken, with them I will be distinguished. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today just thanking you for who you are. We come to you with great excitement of learning more about your word. We come to you, Lord, with open hearts and open minds. Lord, I just pray you will use me as a vessel, that nothing comes out of my words that are of human nature, but only those that come directly from you. So with that, Lord, we ask that you anoint today, that we as people of God will be able to take hold of your word and to apply it to our lives. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Let me set the scene for you. It's been 50 years since the Ark was even
in the city of Jerusalem. The ark was with Abinadab, and remember that because I will have a test. But David had just taken the throne as king, and he wanted to usher in the Ark of the Covenant. Does anybody here know what the Ark of the Covenant is? Has anybody here seen Raiders of the Lost Ark? I think I have a picture. Here's the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant. Do you know the significance of the Ark of the Covenant? The significance of the Ark of the Covenant is God had told the nation of Israel to build this, and this is where he would reside when the people of God would come to them. You know, God has always wanted a relationship with us, a time to speak with us, but he's so holy, he had said, here's what you do. You make the tabernacle, in there you build this Ark of the Covenant, and that is where I will meet you, and that is where I will be. The Ark of the Covenant contained three items. It contained a jar of manna to signify God's provision to us. It was, inside of it was also the Ten Commandments, which was God's law for us. And also Aaron's rod, which is a representation of God's miracle and a representation of resurrection life. The Ark of the Covenant, to most people, was just a box. But the people of God, it was where God resided and spoke to them. It was also where they performed sacrifices. Some of you may know what Yom Kippur is. It stands for Day, Yom Kippur, Atonement. So Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement. And for Israel, the Day of Atonement was a time in which they sacrificed two goats, one for the priesthood and for the nation, and the other one is for taking the sins away that they did not sacrifice. So they would sacrifice a goat for the atonement of the nation, and that we would call that for the propitiation of their sins, satisfying the wrath of God. And then they would lay hands on the other goat called the scapegoat. The scapegoat. To take the sins away from them into the desert as far as that goat can go. The Ark of the Covenant was holy. It was only usually seen once a year when they went in there to do this day of sacrifice, this day of atonement. And it was only the priest that could apply the blood on the mercy seat as a presentable sacrifice to God. I say that so you understand that it wasn't a box. It was more important than a box. It was where God resided. It was also where mankind presented their sacrifices to atone for their sins. It was an annual atonement. It was not forever. But it was a special celebration where everybody came into. So in 2 Samuel chapter 6, the verse we talked about, you can see the excitement in David because he was bringing this ark back in to a tabernacle, a place specifically made for the presence of the ark. This was not David's first crack at the parade. So does anybody remember the story about the first time in? You would read verses 1 through 12. The first time in...
Yeah, the oxen stumbled and then Uzzah tried to grab it. He grabbed the corner of
it
and
he
died.
Absolutely. The first time David brought the ark in, they put it on a cart. Not only did they put it on a cart, the people that were steadying it were not of the high priesthood. Every thing that God had told them as far as healing the Ark of the Covenant was violated because it was supposed to be, number one, carried on the soldier, on the shoulders of the Levitical priesthood. There's a significance to that. Because it was, if it was a box, you'd put it behind your Chevy truck and you'd haul it to the church and say it has some significance. But when it's the presence of God on the ark, there's a difference. An absolute difference. So that's where we begin the story. The ark was touched, Uzzah was struck dead. And he thought he had better figure this out. Number one, he was angry. I don't know whether he was angry himself for not taking great care of bringing the Ark of the Covenant, or whether he was angry at God because he was doing something for God. He was also afraid, and he should have been afraid, because of the sovereignty of the Lord himself. So what's the excitement about? The excitement was about the ark was in with Obed-Edom for 3 months, and Obed-Edom, who was a part of the priesthood, was blessed out of his socks. He was given everything. And David said, yes, now is the time to bring the ark into my city. Because now he understood that it wasn't the box. It wasn't religion that he was bringing into the city. It was a relationship with Almighty God. It was a big difference. Because now I'm sure after Uzzah got killed, I'm sure David went, okay, what do I do, God? Where did I mess up? What's going on here? You know? It's like, this is not going to happen again. Because I want to make sure I bring you in the right way. And he said, okay, Levitical priesthood, not laborers, okay, carried on shoulders, not carried in a cart. Yes, in prayer, in purification, in being penitent, being expectant, being joyful. Many say that if he would have talked to God before the first time he had the parade, that the parade wouldn't have been stunted and stopped. But now he knew. And if you read the first verse, you can ask yourself, what is the excitement about now, David? And the excitement about is about, number one, he was blessed. He saw Obed-Edom blessed, and he knew that God would bless his city if he brought God into his city. Number two, he knew that he was going to bring in God the right way. It wasn't about religion. It was about his relationship with God. His relationship with God, what was it? God blessed him in every battle. God put him as king over Saul. God anointed him. He did not have to take the throne. He was placed there, and he knew that. The excitement was about him knowing where he's been and where God took him, that God had a plan for his life. Now, how did he display his excitement? The verse 13 says, and so it was that when the bearer of the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. Just like the drum major, David is before the parade. He's before the ark. And what does he do? There's silence. And he knows that he doesn't want to mess up again. And he knows that he doesn't want anybody hurt again. And he knows exactly what he's doing, that he's ushering in the presence of God. You can just see what's going on in those 6 paces. He's probably going, pace one, please, dear Lord, I pray that I do this the right way. Pace two, please, dear Lord, I pray, Lord, that nobody gets hurt. Pace three, please, dear Lord, I want to bring you to my city, and I want you to be my Lord. pace for. Dear Lord, I'm open to you. I want you to lead me as you've led me all my life. Pace 5. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm sorry for what I've done before. I want you to be welcome in my home and in this nation. Step 6. Okay, Lord, it's just you and me. You know how much I love you and how much I'll do anything for you. I can just imagine that when he took that 6th step, that he turned around. And saw that big parade behind him. Knew in his heart that God was going to bless it. And he said, yes! And the parade began. And he began dancing in front of the ark. And the dancing is a traditional dance. And the dancing, they said, is like a violent dance, but very holy, because it's a dance, a holy dance that they did back then on their festivals. But it was called, the dance was sort of like a whirling or skipping. They call it rachad. Excuse me, my Hebrew's not. Rachad. And it would be something, and forgive me, I'm not a dancer, but it'd be something like this. Just skipping, with his arms up. You've seen this before with the Jewish tradition. He was glad, and off they went. Chronicles says 70,000 people. 70,000 people in this parade. 30,000 men of valor that fought with David for, 20-some years. The heroes of the community. Yes, the politicians were there too. But guess else? Who else was there? They had musicians! Musicians! Imagine that! Holy men with musicians! And they had trumpets, and they had lyres, and they had castanets, and harps, and they had music. And David danced and danced and danced until he got into the tent that he had built for God, the tent that was supposed to be the same outline as the tabernacle that they had going through the desert for those 40 years. He brought it into his tent, and the very first thing he did is he praised God, had burnt offerings, and also had thanksgiving offerings. It was a praise service. It turned from a parade to a praise service. So the ark was placed in its rightful place, where it should have been all along, in a place of holiness, in a place where people can go to talk to a living God, because that's where the manifested presence was. And then he blessed them all. He blessed them in the name of the Lord. And what else did he do? What happens when what do we love at parades? What else did he do? What else did he do? He gave them cakes. He gave them bread. He gave them raisin cakes and date cakes. Because it was a celebration. And no celebration ends without goodies and fellowship and dessert, does it? He was ready to do all this. He blessed every family, and then he went home to bless his own household. And who does he meet at home? His wife, Michal. I can see this. She's looking out the window, and then you hear the verse that she despised him in her heart. She was a princess. She was the daughter of Saul. She was also the queen. She was the first of David's many wives. Where was she when she despised him in her heart? She was looking out the window. She was not part of the parade. She didn't understand the parade. She didn't understand the manifested presence of God Himself. I can just see David walking the door. And those magic words, "Honey, I'm home!" And her sitting there. Just what she says. Listen to this. "How the king of Israel distinguished himself today. He uncovered himself today in the eyes of all my servants as one of the foolish ones shamelessly uncovers himself." Uncovers himself. Do you know what the act she was talking about? He put on the priestly garb. He took off his kingly attire and put on the priestly garb, white linen of the ephod. The ephod stood for penitence. It stood for thankfulness. It stood for devotion. It stood for joy. Yes, some say it might have been skimpy, but the issue was that he lowered himself in repentance, taking away his kingly garb to be a priest, to usher the presence of God into the city. And with that, the Queen of Israel, the Queen of Jerusalem, the first queen, the daughter of Saul, hated him because she was more concerned about her stature than David's God. Maybe she was jealous of David's God. Maybe she was jealous of the ark. And how did David react to it? Listen to this. So David said to Michal, "For the Lord who chose me above this house, ruler over the people of the Lord of Israel, therefore I will celebrate before the Lord." He was saying, "You know, you understand. You just don't understand. I'm king. Because God esteemed me. I don't need people to esteem me. I don't have to be a people pleaser. He put me here, and I'm going to praise His name." And he says, "Guess what? You ain't seen nothing yet. I will be more like you can think what you want. I have everything too. And if I'm going, if he I'll be a big deal, but in it. Very, very, very. Because it was their children, it was considered a curse if you did not reproduce. So the person who ridiculed would be ridiculed herself. Some story, huh? Some story. But from the story, we need to ask ourselves, what's all the excitement for us? What's the excitement for us? The excitement for us is that all that we have, we owe to Him. The excitement for us is that we carry with us the presence of God through the Holy Spirit. There's no difference. We carry that with us.
Amen.
Amen. He's given us purpose. Now we have a relationship with the true living God. We don't have religion. We don't play church. We are a church. Did you hear what I just said? We're not here to play church. We're here to be a church. We have a relationship with a true living God that sent His Son to die for us on the cross. That took away that sin. That became that final sacrifice. Not only propitiation for our sins that one goat had, but the expiation of as far as the east is from the west. Excitement. How do we display this excitement? I think it's time to worship Him with all of our might. It's no playing games. We worship Him because of who He is, and not who we are. It's time for us to put in that figurative repentance and joy and thankfulness and devotion to a living God, not religion, but to a living God. What's there not to dance about? You know, what's there not to dance about? How will the world react? How will the world react? Oh, you do-gooders, huh? Oh, you hypocrites. The church is full of hypocrites. The next time somebody says that, you say, absolutely, I'm there to deal with my sin. What are you doing with yours? People don't like us. The media doesn't like us. We're fundamental nuts to many people. Because you know something? They understand religion. They hate it. But none of them understand this relationship unless they have it themselves. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? And how are we going to react to the world? We must react to the world that, you know, it's the Lord that appoints us, not ourselves. We need to react to the world that, you know, everything we have is God's. We've never attained anything. We've just been blessed because of His presence. We need to react to the world in a different way than what the church today does. It's not an anger. It's an explanation of the difference between us and others. It's an explanation of this personal relationship that we have with a living God that is residing within us, the presence of God. Sometimes I feel sorry for those that rebuke us, just as much as I feel sorry for Michael. Because they'll not see the purpose that God has in their lives. They're going to miss special blessings in being used of God to change others to reproduce this thing that Christ has deposited in us, to participate in this intimate relationship, to bring people to Jesus. They're going to miss that. They're going to miss that joy. And I got to be open with you. There was a time that I was a mechel. There was a time I'd go to a church and the people who raised their hands, I would have great disdain for. I said, oh, they're the weird ones. Oh, watch out for them because they raised their hands. Until I understood with my relationship that God chose me. That I didn't have to love Him. He loved me long before I loved Him. He sacrificed His life for me long before I even knew of Him. Until I understood the depravity in my life, that He has come to change that. And now when I see people raise hands, I see their hearts. I see them wanting to get as close to God as they can. I see them praising God for everything they've done in their life. I see people with the presence of God in them, just reaching out, just praising and thanking Him for everything that they've been given. There's nothing that beats a personal walk with God. There's a song that represents this. I hope I'm not a singer. I hope I don't embarrass you. And if you remember this, you can sing with me. But it's one of my favorite songs. Oh, He walks with me and He talks with me. He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. That is the presence of God in our lives. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to You. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your Scripture. We thank You for examples of how we're to live our life. Lord, help us to be set apart, not like the others. Help us to step out in this joy, the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. Help us each and every day to remember who You are. Help us each and every day to remember we're not carrying a cart on our back. We're carrying the presence of God all through our bodies and our hearts and in our minds. Dear Heavenly Father, if there's anybody here who doesn't have that relationship, is there anybody here that wants the presence of God in their lives? Is there anybody here that have heard this message and said, you know, I'm tired of religion. I want that personal relationship. You know, now for you is a time of salvation. And it's so easy. And people say, how can it be so easy? Well, it's all about the heart. It's not about the head. It's not about the law. It's about bringing Christ into your heart. And it's so easy. That's when you just ask Him there. You say, I am coming to You in repentance and joy and thanksgiving and devotion, wearing that linen ephod, getting excited about the presence of You in my life. I ask You to come into my life today. I ask You to come into my life today. I ask You to come into my life today. So simple. So simple. Yes, it is. It's a walk that's tough, but salvation is simple. So if there's any of you that don't know Jesus Christ, today is the day of salvation for you. Now is the time to ask them. Ask God. Ask the presence, the holy presence of God into your heart. Help us, Lord, to always exhibit the joy. Help us, Lord, to always be the first in the parade. We pray, Lord, for your mercy and grace upon us. We love you so much. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Because we do bring the presence of God with us. Let's not be the type that looks out the window. Let's get in the parade. There's fun in the parade. So, dear saints, I just ask that you grow in the grace and the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, and you are dismissed.